Okay, here we go.
I think you're fine.
Okay, studying Sefer Musar Avicha. This is our second session studying the Sefer Musar Avicha. Ladies, we are being recorded on my laptop, so just wanted to make you aware of that. Okay, I figured we'd skip a step and just record directly. Okay, last week we spoke a little bit about the Sefer in general, and we saw the introduction, the Me'ein HaKadama, in which Rav Kook seems to lay down why he wrote the Sefer, even though there have been so many great Musar works. But a person has to record things for himself and has to put it into writing. He listed which things need the most clarification. The things that we know, but we have to really drive the message home to ourselves. He gave a list of them. We spoke a little bit about that. And probably most significantly was letter Gimel, the third part of the Hakdama, of the introduction, in which he said that so long as a person doesn't recognize doesn't feel the great need to reinstate the greatness of the Jewish people in the world, if a person doesn't recognize the greatness of the soul, then he can almost have no taste in Avodas Hashem, in the service of God. And he spoke about how tefillah is a great analysis, a great bedika, a great examination would be a better word for a person, because the words of tefillah, the things we're doing in tefillah, if we don't relate to those concepts, then the tefillah is empty. That was a little bit of an oversimplification. I did mention last time Rav Kook has a whole two-volume sefer on the Siddur called Olas Raya. In fact, I meant to cite it for you last time. I just want to read to you a few quick paragraphs right away from his introduction to tefillah. I don't think I read this last week. In his Siddur, this you don't have, but in Rav Kook's Siddur, right at the beginning when he has a few introductory paragraphs on Inyanei Tefillah, matters of prayer, and the subheading of that is HaTefillah HaMasmedes Shal HaNeshama, the constant prayer of the soul. Listen to these words if you happen to want to look at it later. I'm going to read for you letters Beis, Gimel, and Vav. 2, 3, and 6. Ein ha'tfila ba'a k'tikuna kiya mitoch ha'machshava. Tfila doesn't come out properly, but from the thought, the recognition, shebe'emes ha'neshama hitamid mispalelas. That in truth, the soul is always praying. The soul is always davening. Halohi afa u'misrapekes al doda beloshum hefzeklal. It is like flying and bursting forth toward its beloved without any interruption. The neshama is constantly davening. Our physical selves have other distractions, but the neshama doesn't. El shebishas hatfila hamasis, but in the time of actual tefillah, the action of tefillah, which is what our bodies do, so to speak, hare hatfila hanishmosis hatadiris himisgala bapol. Then the constant tefillah of the soul, which is hidden usually, is now revealed. In other words, it's like when you coordinate what the neshama is doing anyway with what the neshama's container, which usually can't be in a constant state of that. Now they're unified, now they're synchronized. Vizehu iduna v'inuga, this is its adornment and its pleasure. Hadara v'tevarta, its glory, shel hatfila, shehim esdame l'shoshana haposachas es aleha hanoim, likras hatal. It's like a rose that opens up its beautiful petals when greeting dew. It's like a flower that has such beauty, but it's dormant, and then a little bit of dew from above comes and it opens up.
Wait, what's opening up? The tefillah?
Yeah, when the person himself or herself davens, it's like a latent beauty that's really there all the time, but now it opens up. It's when the tefillah that really is above is now able to reveal itself down here. There might be. Shushan. Think Shushan.
No, it's seasonal.
Rabbi, maybe. So it's sort of like that it's when you put the actions to what your soul is doing all the time, it sort of...
Right, it's a synchronization oneness. We have a soul, but we are unaware of it a lot of the time. We don't sense it's what it fully feels. Our physical selves constrain, but now there's a synchronization of what the soul feels and the soul and the body. Onochach karni hashemesh, or when a rose opens up facing the sun, hamofia malea ba'ora, the sun shows its light upon it, v'lochein, and that's why, quote, halavai shi espalal adam kol hayom kulo, there's a statement in the Gemara, were it only so that man would daven all day. You have to realize there are halachic statements in the Gemara, but there's a mood, there's a sentiment behind the halachic statement. When someone says, I don't remember who it was exactly, when he says, were it only halavai that man would daven all day, that's what it means, because the neshama is davening all day. Another paragraph, Hatfila mevakeshes mehan neshama es tafkida. Tfila seeks, searches for in the soul its purpose. Kesheavru yamim v'shanim below tfila b'kavana. When days or years have gone by without focused tefillah, without tefillah with kavana, miskabtzim balev avne negef rabin, they are gathered in the heart stones, impediment stones. Shemargishim al yadam kvedus ruach pnimis, that because of them we feel a heaviness, an inner heaviness, like a lethargy of the soul that comes from habituation, a long time without proper tefillah, or worse than that, tefillah that isn't proper. U'kesheruach hatov chozer, and when the good spirit returns, u'matnas hatfila nitenes mimeromim, and the gift of tefillah is given from above, holchim b'chol tefillah u'mispanim osam hamechshol, with each prayer, with each tefillah, more of those impediments are cleared away. In Hebrew, when you say something is holech, and then you give a verb, it means it's continuously, the process is happening. Vasikurim harabim, and the many like stoppages, dams, ashenikbetsu benachal hanavei shal nishmas achayim elyona, that have gathered in what's supposed to be the steady flow of life from above. Holchim v'sarim, they continue that when a person davens with kavana, time and again, those impediments which are there continue. They gradually but continually get removed. And with the elevation of the soul that comes with each tefillah, relative to the quality of it, a certain percentage of the lacking from the past is healed. But it doesn't happen all at once. Aval holechu umismale, it gradually comes and is replaced, is filled. Vhatsohar shel hatfila holech umegale esarosav, and the luminescence of tefillah comes and reinstates itself. You see the way he talks about tefillah. Tefillah is a longing, it's a yearning, and if we do it without kavana, that's such a terrible thing. The Gemara talks about it, that a person has to rehabilitate from that. But each time that a proper tefillah, an emotional tefillah, tefillah comes from the descriptions we had last week, is done, it reinstates what tefillah is supposed to be. Which maybe I'll skip the next paragraph. I was going to read in the letter Vav. Maybe I'll read another time, because I do want to get to the sefer that we have in front of us. But that gives you a little bit of a flavor of how Rav Kook describes tefillah. Okay. Here we are in the sefer Musar Avicha. Perek Aleph. After the introduction, actually the page after it is page Chaf Beis. So I guess we would be on page Chaf Aleph. Last week was an introduction, and now the first chapter. Perek Be'ezras Hashem. Perek Aleph Mitzvahs Yiras Hashem V'Limuda. The mitzvah of fear of God and its study. Aleph Pnimiyos Hayira Tviyosa. The inner nature of tefillah. Says Rav Kook. Bahakdama, everybody have it? Page Chaf Aleph, here we go. Paragal. Bahakdama l'sefer Mesilas Yesharim. In the introduction to what could be called the most classic Musar work, the great Mesilas Yesharim, and even though Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzata was a great Mekubal, a great Kabbalist, and wrote many, many esoteric works, the sefer Mesilas Yesharim is meant to be practical and it's readable. So in his introduction to Mesilas Yesharim, The Path of the Just, Kosav HaChosidzal, writes the righteous one of blessed memory, Shahanyanim Hanidonim Besifro, that the matters that are spoken about, analyzed in his Sefer, in his work, Amitosam Gluya Lakol. Their truth is revealed and readily apparent to all. Ela Shinishkochim Beteva Hahergel shall persumum upshitusam, but they are forgotten by the nature of habituation, or we could say being jaded, from the fact that they are so mafursam, they're so well known and so simple. Okay, that's the most famous introduction to any Musa work that Mesillas Yesharim writes. What I'm about to tell you is basic and obvious, but because of that, nobody does it. It's too well known and too obvious, and therefore it has to be spoken about. Rav Kook is going to give us a deeper understanding of what that means. He says, Hine, be'emes, in truth, inyan ha'avoda b'chlal, matters of serving God in general. Serving God doesn't only mean prayer, it means serving Hashem in all ways. So avoda in general, v'hayira, v'ha'ava, v'hadvekus, and matters of fear of God, love of God, clinging to Him, yiduim l'kol, they are known to all. Aval ha'yidia hirak yidias Hashem levado. But what is known is only, when he says Hashem here, he doesn't mean God. It's the knowledge of the name, meaning the terminology, the nomenclature. People know the words, they know the terms. Velo hakavona shahashem nose bikirbo. But not the real intent, the real meaning that the terms, that the shemos, the terms you use, are really carrying within them. People know the terminology well, it's well known, but they don't know what the words refer to. He explains why. Ki lefi kedushas imke chochmas hayira, because due to the great holiness of the depth of the wisdom of fear of God, shakol hachochmos hein hatzaos v'hachonos lahem, that all other wisdom is like a preparation, a setup and a preparation for it. He quotes his son in the footnote, quotes some terminology, wording of the Rambam. The Rambam, in his introduction to the Perush HaMishnah, writes, "Shashar ha'chachmas einan elo lahargil bohem ad shiyagia ledas elokis." The ultimate wisdom is knowledge of God. All other wisdoms bring us toward that. You study God's world, you study. It ultimately brings man to see his Creator. You're studying creation, you come to see but all the other areas of science are introductions to the knowledge of God. In fact, I think the Rambam in one place describes Aristotle as having all of the forms of wisdom short of the knowledge of God. And he made it all the way, but didn't get to the top. But so all of those other areas of Chachma lead to that. So, but now you're talking about that actually. You're talking about the study of God Himself, Yiras Hashem. Therefore, because it is so holy, lo yivodu la'odam mitzad hadibur hachitzoni. The holiness of the depth of study of Yira, it cannot be known to man from external speech, from external terms. Ela behegyon halev bedibur hapnimi, only from analysis of the heart, from the dibur pnimi means inner speech. It means the inner meaning of the words, not just the external. Vizehu ba'atzmo sibas ha'helem shelohem. And this itself is the real reason for its hiddenness. In other words, when you just read the Mesillas Yesharim's introduction, you could think, well, when things are obvious and they're well known, we pay them no attention. Rav Kook is saying it's deeper than that. That's true in its own right. But he's saying it's deeper than that. It's that in the study of Hashem, one can know the words and think he knows what he's talking about, but not really. Why? Mitzad shahamon ha'anashim. The masses in general. Afilu ha'chachomim. Even wise people. Morgalim b'chachmos. Are trained, are used to chachmos, are used to areas of study, of knowledge. Shebohen in yonon shove bedibur hapnimi kemo bedibur hachitzoni, that in those other areas of chachma, what he's calling outer speech and inner speech are the same. He's going to elaborate, but just to explain a little bit, he means when you refer to something in another area of knowledge, of wisdom, of science, if you can refer to it, you know what you're talking about. If you're talking about it and describing it, and you're describing its chemical properties, or you're describing its physical properties, or how it works, or if you can explain it well, if you can write it down on paper, write a nice paragraph about it, you understand it. V'rov ha-chachmos, and the majority of chachmos, k'shi yedubar bahen, when he's speaking in them, yukar mitzad hadibur erech ha-omek shebahen. From the speech, from what he's talking about, he understands the depth of them. A person has to look into them until he knows them. And nobody who's a Baal Seichel, who has some level of understanding, can think he knows them when he doesn't. Okay? I don't understand this mathematical formula. Now I do. I don't understand this area of social science. I read it. Now I can explain it. Now I can say the words. Now I understand it. You have to work at it until you understand it. And when you can say the words, when you can talk about it intelligently, then you understand it. Masha Enkein. Bottom line, which is not the case. Kolin yane chovos halev, for all matters of duties of the heart. Chovos halev is the early term for Musar. All matters of duties of the heart, shehama'amorim ba'atzman, turning the page, einam b'chitzoni yoseyem, b'chitzoni yusam, l'fi omek ha'chochma shebohem. The words, the essays themselves, are not in their exterior per the inner chachma that's in them. In other words, there's an incongruity between the words you use and the true meaning of it. Other things, there are words for. This chachma, there really aren't words for. So if you're just saying the words, if I'm just saying the words, I could still be missing the point.
It's not intellectual, really.
No, it is, but ultimately he's going to say words fail us. A person can... It's funny, in the yeshivas, they say an expression that they attribute to Reb Chaim Brisker, felt in hasbara is felt in kavana. It means lacking in explanation is lacking in understanding. If you can't explain it, you don't understand it.
That's true.
But what he's going to say, that in Musar, it's not so, actually. You can explain it to the fullest ability.
Really.
Somebody wrote the Sefer, and he wrote it out clearly, and I can read it, and I can translate it, but I don't really know what he's saying.
But that's like the essence of the whole thing. It's just like what last week with Malkuth, he said, you know, if you feel this, how can it be that? It's that, like, ineffable inability to really experientially or put it into words.
Right.
But you can feel it. You can get it, even if you can't really say it.
Right. And that's why you'll
say it, not get it, not feel it, too, right?
You
say
right.
Right. Space where you have to push yourself to
Yeah, well, he's not even, he's talking about understanding. He's not even talking about feeling.
Why is that? Why is tefillah so difficult?
He's not only talking about tefillah, he's talking about all matters of Avodas Hashem. Mm-hmm. He's saying because it's the deepest wisdom, it goes beyond words. I think there are ways of testing. We have a pasuk, Tein l'chacham v'yech kamod, give to a chacham and he'll add to it. If I can read a piece of Musa from one of the great Chachamim and translate it and explain it, doesn't mean you understand it. Usually, if a person has fully or somewhat fully processed it, you can say it in totally different words. Rabbi Yisrael Salanto will write one line in one of his letters, and his Talmidim and the students of his Talmidim have full essays on it. I'm doing that a little bit with the men's Musa group now. Rabbi Rucham Levavitz has whole pieces where, and he says, and that's what Rabbi Yisrael meant when he said, and then he gives you a little one-line quote. Because if you really understand what he's saying, there's a lot more to it, and therefore you put it in these words and put it in those words. When it clicks, usually the person can express it for himself or herself. But what he's saying is that we have to read on a little bit to see fully what he means. In fact, he says it right now. Ki lo nosad b'loshon klal. It has not been established, hasn't been set up in language at all. L'daber b'chol protei ha'avona k'fi ha'dorosh l'hem. To speak with all the details of understanding that is needed for them. To understand Yiras Hashem, there aren't really all the words. The words aren't there. U'misha eino misbonin la'eshurim. A person doesn't contemplate. It takes contemplation. You have to first say the words, understand them. And then you have to contemplate and think about it and apply it and think what it means. Lishurim shel dvarim yachshov sheyodea hu hadvarim biyedios hashemas. That person will think he knows the matter when he knows the words. I can recite lots of psukim in Mishlei. It doesn't mean I've captured the essence of what Shlomo HaMelech was saying. Hence the expression devil citing scriptures. But that's at a very basic level. But it requires analysis. See, really, every page of our Masorah has to be read with enormous emotion and kavana. But there's such wealth of knowledge too that sometimes we learn quickly. I don't know, we're reading through it quickly. Really, every word there has a lot behind it, but you have to cover ground also. But a person has to contemplate what every word means, particularly in the study of Yiras Hashem. Al Kain, therefore, Hachova hi la'ayin, one has the obligation to analyze, to scrutinize, Shayyia makir hadvarim bahakara panimis, that he should recognize the things with an inner recognition, that he should know it intimately, he knows what it's really saying. There's the quotes from Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Maybe in your Gemara it doesn't say that, but in my Gemara that's what it says. Where he would say, there are places, times where he said, it says this in the Gemara. And people would say, we've been through all of Shas, we don't know where it says that in the Gemara. The answer is, but then he'll show you, no, what do you think the underlying yesod, the underlying principle in this concept is? And then he'll show you, it's this. And you know, once he explains it to you, you see it. But therefore, we have to know things with an inner knowledge. Umemela, and it follows. Mela means like automatically, but it follows. Yisrach, it's a good yeshivish word, by the way. I always tell my students in school, I give them yeshivish points. Mela what? So Mela, Yisrachavu etzlo hadvarim, that the matters will be expanded by him. Shemeviyim la'osa ha'akara, that bring him to that recognition. Ad sheyalo biyado lahanik mitov yediyoso gam lezulaso. If he really understands it, he's able to impart it and give it over to someone else. To understand Yiras Hashem fully, he has to analyze it and work on it. And when he understands it well, so the famous word they say from the Micht of Melio, from Rav Dessler, that the word hashpa'a, influence, comes from the word shefa. Shefa means bounty. Shefa means overflowing. How are you mashpia? How do you influence someone else? When you're overflowing with something, it spills over onto other people. But if a person has a tiny trickle of something, that's not an influence on someone else. The Gemara uses an expression, istra bilagina kishkish karya. If a person has means a coin in a jug, kishke makes a lot of noise. If a person, sometimes people make a lot of noise about something, they don't really have too much. One little coin, so it jingles around, ding, 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 it makes a lot of noise, but it's an expression that means when someone doesn't have too much, but he's making a big to-do of it. But that's not what hashpah comes from. Hashpah comes from overflowing. So that's point one. He says what the Mesilas Yesharim really means is, it's so well known. Yeah, sure, Yiras Hashem, Avas Hashem, I just read about it this morning. Yeah. But never thought about what the words mean. So because in this science it's possible to say the words and even make sense and not know what I'm talking about, that is why the truth, the depth of these things are so elusive. They require contemplation. Later he's going to talk about how it's actually the only area of Chachmah that can only be achieved through one's own contemplation. You can't even be taught it. We'll see that later. Omna. However, next paragraph on page Chaf Beis, Tochen Hadavar. The real kishkes, the real inside of the matter, Masha Hashemos Ha'ela Mitzad Atzmam Heim Gluyim Lakol Mitzad HaTevahu. This is almost diametrically opposed to what he just said. He's going to point out an irony here, that on the one hand, these things are so elusive, we don't really know the inner essence of all of the Midos. On the other hand, he's going to talk about that they're so readily available and they're so natural to us. The token, the reason why Chovos Halev and Musar Mitzad Atzmam Heim Gluyim Lakol, but of their own essence, they're actually readily revealed to all. Mitzad HaTevahu is natural. It comes naturally. Shekol Inyane Chovos Halev V'Taharasa. All matters of the duties of the heart and its purification, bezikuch hanefashos, and purifying of the souls, v'chol prate hamidos, and all of the details of the midos. Man's job in this world is to develop his midos. We have a central, Rambam says, a central mitzvah in the Torah is v'halachta bedrachav, go in the ways of Hashem, imitatio Dei in Latin, imitating the deity. There's a lot of literature about it. And Halachta Bedrachav, Chazal defined as Mahu Rachum Afata Ye Rachum, Mahu Chanan Afata Yechan. God is merciful, you should be merciful. God is, gives, shows favor, you should show favor. And all the descriptions that the Nevi'im have of God's Midos are not really descriptive. We cannot describe God. He's inscrutable. He's unknowable. Those are midos that he demonstrates in the world for one purpose, to teach man. You can't really describe Hashem as Rachum. He's unknowable. He shows the midah of Rachamim in the world, and therefore it is our job to develop the midah of Rachamim. I've mentioned in the past, unlike some mitzvahs, where the mitzvah is simply to do it, mitzvahs that involve midos, there's an additional mitzvah to have the midah. If I give tzedakah, but I'm not a benevolent or a caring person, I haven't done the mitzvah yet. I've done one part of the mitzvah, not the other part. So all the details of midas, nimtzaim ba'odam bateva, are really found within man by nature. This is actually a big idea in Sifrei Chasidus and Sifrei Kabbalah as well. It has to do with the spheros, the midas that Hashem put into the world by the quote-unquote tzimtzum, by quote-unquote reducing himself, whatever that means, and lowering down, were put into man. It's not that man starts on the ground and has to, gee, that would be a nice midah to have, and that would be a nice, they were put in him from the beginning, but he just has to connect with them properly. So they're within man naturally. Shehem klei ma'asehu l'chol inyane hachayim, because they are really his utensils for all matters of life. Kimmo inyane hayira, like matters of fear, ha'ahava, love, chemda, you had to have yearnings for things, desire for things, hadvekas, clinging, uchayotzebo, that's what the abbreviation stands for, uchayotzebo, which means and the like. Shehem nimtzaim benefesh ha'adam, they are found within man's soul. Ve'eno tzarech l'chadsham, he does not have to innovate them, mitzaratzma. Ooh, I just learned about a trait called love. Let me see if I can conjure that one up. Let me see if I can cook it up here. What ingredients do I need? It's within man, and the same of all the midos. Rak tzarech laha'alosem, but what he has to do, Gzuntayt, is he has to elevate them. Sheyu holchim el haderach hatov. This is such a simple point, but it's a profound point in all of the work of Musar and of midos. The midos are all there, and they're actually there from on high, but and he's going to explain why this happens in it momentarily. But we corrupt them. We've used them the wrong way. They have to be realigned. We have to recalibrate the system. He has to make sure they're going to the right places. V'hu sheyu kulam ponim el Hashem yisbarach, and that's that they should all be facing. They should be turned toward Hashem. Shehu tachlis kol tikva, that He is the ultimate, the end goal of all hopes, of all yearning. V'chol ha-chachma b'zeh, oh, the whole chachma involved here, he rak l'havin, is only to understand, eich yu kol inyane hamidas notim el Hashem yisbarach v'sham kvodo, that they should all be turning to Hashem, and that's where his, or shem kvodo probably, and the name of his honor, say baruch shem kvod. Im kain, if so, ein ha-shemos be'etzem inyan ha-chachma hadrushal avoda. These terms, love of Hashem, fear of Hashem, clinging to Hashem, chesed, rachamim, all of these midos, the terms themselves are not, they're not the kuntz, they're not the trick, they're not the chachma that we need for the service of Hashem. Umi kol makom einam davar zulasa, but they're not entirely something else either. The midos are not what we really need to study to serve Hashem, but they're not something else either. What he's trying to say is, the midos are really already there. It's channeling them properly. That's the kunz. Everybody has midos. Some people, midos are slightly corrupted. Sometimes they're entirely switched. I just read the Haftarah about Shaul HaMelech having mercy on Amalek, and then later he doesn't have mercy on Novi Rakonim. Kol HaMarachim ala Achzor, Sofilius Achzor ala Rachamon. The wires are crossed. Right midos, wrong. I was about to say right church, wrong pew. That's a terrible wrong place to say, use that expression. But the midos are there. They're within a person. But at times, and Shaul was a great person, please don't misunderstand. At his level, though, he made an error. So it's not developing the midos. It's not the midos themselves that are the chachma, but it's not entirely not the midos either, because it's channeling the midos. Uledavar gadol sam habarius baruch elu hakochos kvuos ban. So why did Hashem, why not do it that way? Why not have it that you have to learn what the midos are and then just do it right the first time. Why have the midos in ourselves from our earliest years, and they thereby become corrupted because we don't have the wisdom to channel them properly, and then we have to redirect them? Why learn it wrong? Why not just don't teach the course till the student's ready to do it the right way? Why should we learn it the wrong way and then redirect it? Yeah.
Does he explicitly say that it's the wrong way as opposed to, let's say, latent and undeveloped? Is it necessarily negative?
Wrong might be an overstatement.
Yeah, maybe like latent.
Yeah, you say he's gonna quote something. We actually, in the footnote, Rav Yehuda quotes something from the Dibna Magid, which is a beautiful mashal, okay, to which I think, based on that mashal, you'll tell me what adjective you want to use. But so why is it that the midos are in us from the beginning instead of just learning them when you're ready to do it properly? He says it's for a great reason. There's a reason why all of these kochos are, to be kavua means to be firmly planted in something. They are kavuos banu. Sha'achare sha'ahayshara ha'amitis lavaros Hashem tomid. Since the proper alignment, making something yoshar, making it the true alignment to serve Hashem constantly, here's the problem. It's not that, you know, that one moment a day when you should have Avas Hashem, we want you to do it right. If that were the case, then maybe you could learn it later. But the proper midas are something that should not stray from a person's heart for even one moment. It has to be so firmly within the person that he wouldn't stray from it for a moment. And v'chol dvar kinyan she'eno mutba ba'odam, and any acquisition that is not in nature and man. I've always said that we translate the word teva to mean nature, but it's a poor translation. We don't really have the right English word. Teva, like this word mutba, matbeya, means something that's minted. You take it and you cast it a certain way, and that's the way it's going to look. You take a penny and you put Abe Lincoln on it, and that's the way it's going to look permanently. It's not malleable. It doesn't change. It's not one day looking like this and one day like that. When we say your nature, it means the way you're minted, the way you're supposed to be. It's not supposed to be able to change. So any acquisition that's not mutba ba'adam, that's not like minted in the person, it's not his very nature that's carved into him, hu noach la'abdo, it's easy to lose it, v'kasha l'shamro b'chol rega, and it's very hard to guard it, to maintain it all the time. If it's not really your nature, very hard to hold on to. When a person learns something external, but it's not really his inherent nature, so yes, I'm aware of it. No, I'm not. It's not really part of our being, and it's hard to hold on to it. Al Kain. Therefore, Sam Hashem Yisbarach Bachasto, God in his chesed and his kindness, put Kol Elu Hadvarim Kvuim B'Tiv Einu. He put all of these things firmly established in our nature. He made it so readily a part of us. V'kasher yaskil ha-seichel ha-halosam. Then when the seichel grows and a person is able to elevate them, ozim ach yelech b'chukei Torah Hashem yisbarach, then if he'll just go in the statutes of the Torah of Hashem, yisharu kivuim b'levavo tamid mamish, they will remain permanently in his heart all the time. Okay, so here's how it works. True, there's a disadvantage to having these great tools when you don't know how to use them because we habituate ourselves to use the tools incorrectly. But if somebody will then say, so don't give him the tools until he's ready, but then the tools are not a natural part of yourself. They're artificial, and anything that's artificial is not constant. Hashem gives us the tools as part of ourselves. They are innate. True, that means you have to redirect them a little bit. I don't want to say wrong, because the green bubby will correct. But if they're slightly off, they're slightly not right, then we have to redirect them. But once we do that redirecting, then you have it, and you got it made. Then they're kavua. If they hadn't been part of ourselves, then what's a learned and not innate doesn't last. Okay, kemoshem kavuim b'teva kodem shabo l'chladas. Just like these, you watch a child develop, you see all the traits that are pre-programmed. It's astounding, but they were all planted within the person. Umemela yete lanu makom limud. What comes from this, what follows naturally, is a big lesson to us. Ad heichan hachiyev magia lishkod al yediyas Hashem yisbarach. How great the obligation is to work diligently on the knowledge of Hashem, b'hanagoso hashleima b'tuva v'chasto hamufla, in his complete, the way he runs the world with his goodness and his incredible chesed. Sheharei kol cheftzenu, our whole yearning, our whole chayfetz, what we want is she'elu hamidas, that these traits, she'en kavuos b'tivenu, that are naturally established within ourselves, hein ba'atzmon, they themselves, kasher yisbaro lanu she'ha'ikr she'roi l'shtamish b'hen hu la'avodas Hashem yisbarach, that when we recognize that the main thing is that we should, it's appropriate to use them to serve Hashem, turn on to the next page, yiyu kavuos b'zeh, they should be established. Vizos hi malas hadvekus, and this is the, when we talk about a level called dvekus, clinging to Hashem, shahamidos dvukos benefesh tamid, that the midos are clinging to the soul all the time. Not sometimes I have a holy, lofty moment, but dvekus means constantly that way. You recall he said this last week, I quoted from the Siddur last week, he said, tzadik be'munoso yichya, pasuk from Chavako Kanavi. So he said, the tzaddik lives by his emunah. It was a similar vart. He said, just like life is not something extraneous to a person that he doesn't relate to. Even when we're not actively thinking about the fact that we're alive, we are very much in sync with the fact that we're alive. We don't have to think about it. There's no friction between the awareness that I'm alive and anything I do. Everything we do naturally jives with the fact that we are alive. He said that tzaddik's emunah is the same way. Everything about his existence is perfectly in harmony with emunah, as much as everything a person does naturally is in harmony with the fact that he's alive. Tzaddik be'emunaso yichyeh. The same way he's yichyeh, he's be'emunah. There's no friction. Another person, emunah, there's cognitive dissonance to emunah, and he has to constantly work on himself. But here, it's be'emunaso yichyeh. Same thing here. Really, all the midas are supposed to be that way, that they're in perfect harmony after he's realigned them. V'kev, second line on Chaf Gimel, v'kev and she'yis'alu acharei hadeya l'karve el Hashem, and once they will be elevated, acharei hadas, following das, to come near to Hashem, yiyu tamid, yiyu tamid imo yisparach, he'll be constantly with Hashem. That's what dveikus is. Imkein, if so, harei yi'efshir she'yikavu eila hamidos ala matzav she'eino tivan harishan. It is impossible for these midos to be established in a way that's not their first nature. It's unnatural. If you have to, it needs to be natural. Be'emtzoyim shelohayim maspikim afla tivan harishan, in ways that wouldn't work for their first nature. In other words, we
just go back a little bit.
Yeah.
To the beginning of that sentence that you broke into two. We say that again. That didn't make any sense to me. I just didn't hear that.
Which one? Where are we starting from? Imkain, if so, harei efshar she kavu ela hamidas. It's impossible for these midas to become kavua, to be set.
Right.
Al hamatzav, on a, it means in a way, in a circumstance, she'eino tivan harishan, which is not their real nature. What he's saying is, Ava has to be pre-implanted in a person. Yira has to be preset in a person. Because if it isn't, if you had to learn it, if I'm not naturally a person of Ahava, Yira, Chesed, whatever it might be, and it's a learned characteristic, you can't remain with Dveikus to something that's external, to something that's learned but not natural. Therefore, he's telling us, when you actually learn Chesed, Yira, Ava, it's deja vu all over again. It's really, you're just coming back to what you really knew naturally. Just in my youth, I had yearnings for these things, and now I realize that those are havolim, those are narishkeit, so I put my yearning, I put the chemda to the right place. I had fear of things that shouldn't be feared, now I put the fear of things that should be feared. I had ava for things that shouldn't be loved, but it's going back to something that really is natural. Ahava is going back to where it really wants to be. Yira is going back to where it really wants to be. So you're returning to where, to a certain degree, the same way that the Braisa tells us in Maseches Nida, the baby learns, the nefesh of the baby learns the whole Torah before it's born. So there, so that when you come,
analogous to that you recognize when you learn it,
you're going back to
it's reminiscent. It's like, aha.
You're going back to the natural state of being. You're not forcing yourself, bending yourself in a prayer. It's a Braisa in Maseches Nida, Daf Lamed, yeah.
So you're saying that putting something on top of something doesn't work, in other words.
Yeah,
so
if you're taking it away from its nature. Elokim asas adam yashar. God made man straight. Serving Hashem, being good, is really the natural state of being. When we're not doing that, it's corrupted. But when we're doing what we're supposed to do, we're going back to the way we're supposed to be, which is why we're able to, a person can be that way and can stay that way and be that way kavua. That's what he's calling dveikus. I think what he means is b'emtzoim shelohay maspikim af l'tivan arishon. That is a hard phrase. He means through media that wouldn't work for its... What if ahava was not a natural trait in man and you had to use some other media to get it into yourself, then you cannot have an ahavas Hashem that's constant. It has to be that there's an innate ahava that doesn't need any media to get it there. It's there anyway, you just have to steer it a little bit or a lot, but that's what can last. Beyer Hadram, he explains it. Explanation of the thing. Hareinu roim shahamidos hativios ba'adam. We see that the natural midos in man, einan nikvaos kiim kefi hadas. They are only established according to das. This is very interesting. Ulefi yediaso, and according to his knowledge, what he knows, what he understands. Bein shatia amitis okozevis, whether his yediyah is true or deceitful. A person can believe something that's untrue. But whatever he thinks, that determines where his midos go. But whatever it is, yidbeku midos, his midos will cling to. I think he illustrates here. V'hakotan ha-bilti makir klal. A little child, a baby, doesn't understand anything. Shum inyan, any matter. Ein lo midos klal. Doesn't really have midos. Ukishe yigdal. And when he grows up, v'yakir sha-machal hutov. When he's a little baby, he's not even aware he's being fed. He feels it, but doesn't know what's happening. He gets a little older and realizes, oh, being fed is good. Ye'avenu. He'll love it. He'll want it. Umisha yikach mimenu, and somebody who takes it from him, v'utzarechlo, he's hungry and you take his food away, yichas alav, he gets angry. But the baby that doesn't even understand that's being fed doesn't get angry, doesn't get irate. Hey, you took away what I wanted. When a baby has a recognition, that's something good, that's something that makes me feel better, that's something that makes me feel I have energy, he gets angry when you take it away from him. That's the most basic illustration that the midos follow the das. If my das is that this is good, I become angry when there's a challenge to it. If my das is that that is bad, I become angry when there's a challenge or when somebody pursues that. If my perception of good and bad are skewed, so my midos will be channeled in the wrong place. If I think that evil is laudable and good is despicable, so my midos are going to be hafuch. But the midos follow the das. Kozev means something that's deceitful. It's, so he's using it as the opposite of emes. Rev Hirsch in his etymology says that the word kozev and kishuf, chaf shin fei, so a shin and a zayin are interchangeable, and a fei and a vase are interchangeable. Kishuf is black magic. It's using higher forces for falsehood. Kozev and koshuf, he says, are the same word really. But it means that which is true. Ani amarti b'chafzi kol ha'adam kozev. I said in my haste that all of man is deceitful. So he says, beginning of a line, v'chol masha tispashet hadas yoser. And all the more that the das grows, spreads, ken yispashtu hamidos. So the midos spread. If he has a greater understanding of the world around him. So we just said that midos follow the das. The more I understand what's right and what's wrong and what's good and what's bad and what's should be loved and what should be despised and so on. So the midos grow with that. Alkane, therefore, kishu anu boim lekovan, when we come to establish them, kulon b'yiras Hashem, where we want them all to be synchronized, to follow yiras Hashem, v'ahavaso, and its love, tzarich al kol ponim shetispashet hadas, bedrochav hayisharim v'hakaraso. The midos grow by having the das grow. The more that I truly understand what is good and what is bad, the more that my midos will be following those things. He just demonstrated the midos follow the das. Shall pi en yiskonenu amidos, and based on them, that's how the midos will be set up. Uma sheyechoser mehadas, and this is a line to remember, that whatever will be missing from das, kifle kiflayim be'erko yechoser mehamidos. Many times over will be lacking from midos. If he's missing das, he's missing midos. Kevan shu shorish lahen v'noson, because that is their root and that's what carries them. I mean, if you think about it, in other words, what he's saying is the midos are there anyway. You don't have to create your midos. Your midos are in you. The whole avoda is just putting them in the right direction. What tells you what direction to put them in? Das. So whatever's missing in das or skewed in das, that's going to manifest itself in the midos many times over. Okay, next paragraph. Ochein. Masha Amarnu, what we said, Shamidos Kishain Nekvaos Kulon Inyan Havoda Elokis, when we said that the Midos, when they are established for the service of Hashem, Shehain Shelo Al Pitivon Harishon, that they are not based on their initial name. We just said sounds like a contradiction. On the one hand, we said, you relate to the Midas, they're all there. On the other hand, we said, but your Midas were taught wrong. So are they naturally right or are they naturally wrong? So he says, when we say that they're not in their first nature, your first nature was to use Ava the wrong way.
Well, if you look at like developmentally too, I mean, this is like a, you're coming up more than I do, but like a child who grows up with an abusive parent, the love is natural, but they learn to love such a destructive force.
Right. Right. He's going to take it a level deeper. He's going to talk at the neshama level. Ein zekia mitzad haguf. He's not even talking about, God forbid, we're so corrupted like that. But even that's even in olam hazeh terms, that's no good.
Yeah.
But in olam hazeh, we wouldn't say it's so terrible if a person loves what benefits him. But ultimately, we're supposed to elevate ourselves beyond that. Even loving ephemeral things, let's say. That's not really true. It looks that way. He says that's mitzat haguf from the physical side. Tahainu she'etzem hamidos v'adai pe'ulos hanefesh hein. Because really, midos are functions of the soul, not the body. In the body, it looks like they're learning wrong. Oh, you're pursuing that. You get angry about that, and you're happy about that. You're all backwards. That's just when the midos are being shown through the body. But the truth is, the midos really come from the neshama, which is a big idea, as I mentioned before, in Chassidus and Kabbalah. Elisha pe'ulo dveka beklei haguf. This function, the mida, is now stuck to it. It's clinging to the vessels of the body. Umishtana inyana lefi haguf hapoel, and therefore changes per the functioning of the body. Umitzad kochos haguf, and from the faculties of the body, hakodmin bezman, which come earlier in terms of our development. The neshama connects with the body. So basically, this, the neshama itself has the higher level midos. But when you're born, mazal tov, then it looks like in olam hazeh, the body has home court advantage because we're not smart enough to realign things per the neshama till many years later. So in olam hazeh, the body has home court advantage. And then when we reach das and seichel, we realign things, but he's saying you're really realigning it to the way it really was at its source, which is in the neshama to begin with. Huchru hamidos ki inyan teva rishon ledvarim gufaniyim. So therefore, the midas have been to be machriya, something means like when you have two choices and you turn in favor of one. So the midas have been huchra, have been pushed over to their first teva, but he means in this world, ledvarim gufaniyim, for physical things, umedumim, and false, imagine things, she'enam al pi amitas ha-seichel, which are not per the truth of the seichel. Aval mitzad ha-nefesh, but from the soul itself, vadai tivan harishon hu letachlis hamala. So it depends what you call home court advantage. We always talk about that the body is home court advantage, but that's only if you look at things from this world and on. But if you look at the neshama before it came down, so the neshama has home court advantage. So it sort of depends how you look at it. Now, if you look in the footnote, Rabbi Yehuda Cook tells you, look in the Sefer Hamidus of Rabbi Yaakov Hamagid Midubna. By astounding coincidence, this is the title page of the Sefer Hamidus of the Dubna Magid. People think today when you hear a Magid, you think a storyteller. The Magidim of old were the greatest Chachamim. They happened to have had a great ability also to teach the lessons in a powerful, powerful way, but they were great Gedol Yisrael. The Vilna Gaon begged the Dubna Magid to give him Musar. That tells you what we're talking about. So the Dubna Magid wrote a Sefer called Sefer Hamidas, and he has this concept, I have it here, described in such a beautiful way, and he had the ability to make mashalim that make you understand something so clearly. He happens to be talking about ahava, love, but it really could be said of any midah. But he talks about how a person has to redirect his ahava. A person grows up and learns to channel ahava sometimes in the wrong directions. But then he redirects it. But he says there's a good reason why we have the sense of ahava even before we know what to do with it. And he writes, Be'er HaDavar. Here's how to explain it. Kasha Tira Minach HaSochrim. Take a look at the practice of merchants. Asher Schorosam Avonim Tovim Margolios. They have they deal in precious gems and jewels. Ma'ate hakamus v'rave eches that are very small but very valuable. V'hascharos ha'elu, and this merchandise, kasha yiknu osam b'makomu me'ever liyam. Where do you get it? Where do you mine for them? In places where the buyers are not there. You see, you have to go to a faraway place and you get them, but then there's nobody there who can afford to pay for them, so you have to bring them elsewhere. L'man halviosam l'po, you have to bring them here, l'skashit bohem. So yikosha hadavar ma'od l'halicham misham l'po. It's very difficult to bring them from there to here. Ki rav haderech bein mokom mitziyusam l'mokom shiyikav pu'ulasam. It's hard, from the place where they're found to the place where people appreciate them is a long journey. V'heim advarim dakim uktanim, they're so small. Asher hakona yuchol abdam al kol haderech, that the person who found them could lose them. V'lo yagash, and he wouldn't even realize, they can easily get lost. Hine ha'etza hayu'utza lazeh. So the good suggestion for this is ki hakone kasha yikno samba mokom mitziusam lo yikochem kach imo. He shouldn't just, he found a little pearl or a diamond, you know, just put it somewhere, put it in his bag, he'll lose it. V'yasa mehem gam ata inyan kishutin. So he should make some kind of ornament. Lo kemishpat hakishutin asher bedaito lasos beveso. Not like the kind of ornament he's going to make when he gets it home. When he gets it home, he's going to put it on a crown, it's going to be beautiful. Avol yamtzi la'atzmo inyan acher. Rather, something else. Hainu yikach ha'avonim ha'tovos ha'dakim ha'him. You should take these fine diamonds. V'yikashet b'hem or osak. So he has a knapsack. He has a canteen. He has something, some inexpensive vessel that he carries. And he's going to put this diamond, this who knows how many carat diamond, on his leather case, his carrying case. Oyiten osam b'mishpatzos shel bedil v'ofer. So you're going to put them on something made of lead. So the onlooker thinks he's crazy. Well, you take that kind of a thing, you dress up. But it really came from great wisdom. It's not that he doesn't appreciate the value of that gem. He's not really trying to adorn that briefcase. He doesn't want to lose it, so he's got to attach it to something. He uses it as an ornament to something, but he's really doing that so he won't lose it till he can get it to the real proper setting. When he puts it on some coarse, unrefined carry case, that way at least he can guard it. Then when he gets there, he'll take it off. And I'll put it on a proper ornament. Kain hadavar, says the Divna Magid, ki abari yisparach boras ha'adam l'torah v'avoda. God created man for Torah and service of Hashem. V'hadvarim ha'yikarim ha'ilam ha'achreach lehem al midos yikaros u'ma'ulos l'kashit b'hem es ha'avoda. And you need great midos to serve Hashem with. Ki mibalade ha'midos l'yasa davar. Ki imal pi ha'teva v'yasa grach v'shmir es ha'guf v'kimo. Aval ha'avoda lo tishalim ki imal yidei ha'midos. Avoda is completed by midos. I'm not going to read his whole thing, but he basically says we need these midos. You need ahava, and you need yira, and you need chesed, and you need rachamim. So in our early lives, we have these great jewels, and we attach them to the wrong things. Hashem set us up that we attach ahava to this, and we attach yira to this. What we're really doing is we're carrying it. If I would wait till I'm 13, or Beryl Wan used to always say, if it were up to me, I wouldn't make bar mitzvah and bas mitzvah at 13 and 12. I'd make it at 33 or 43 or 50, but whatever, until we're smart enough, until we're wise enough to use the midos properly, if we're so out of practice, we didn't carry the jewel with us, it's lost. You don't have the jewel to use. So you carry the jewel with you on something that's less quality. That's not really what it's there for. The jewel is not there for that case. The ahava is not there for that vain pursuit, but he's in practice. And now all he's got to do is take it off of this. Oh, it shouldn't be here. It should be over here. And that's a lot less trouble than trying to find the diamonds when you're 6,000 miles away. That's the Dunamagi's mashal. And that's what Rav Kook is saying here also. And it's a idea in many Svarim, that the Midos are carried along. We schlep them along, but they're in the wrong place. But then it's less of an avoda to channel them by way of developed Das into the right Midos. And that's the task that we do once we are Omid and Das. Okay, we're a little over time, so maybe we'll finish up that paragraph next time, but I think that's a profound lesson. On the one hand, the Midos are elusive because we say the words and we don't know what they are, so we have to develop our Das to know what they are. On the other hand, they're not elusive at all. They're right there, and you just have to channel them in the right direction.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.